All right, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not Bible. Let's go ahead and get started today now, my friends, for our Sunday school. Hope you guys are excited to be back at church. Hope you brought your Bible. And may you guys go ahead and do now me a favor. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to the book of Joshua chapter 22. Joshua chapter number 22. Vamos a empezar en el libro de José, capítulo 22. Joshua 22. Let's go ahead and make our way there now, guys. Joshua 22. Today's Sunday school message is titled, Beware of Covetousness. Beware of Covetousness. El título de nuestra escuela dominical es Cuidado con la Codicia. Let's go ahead and do our best now, guys, to focus. And let's go ahead and turn now together. Let's go ahead and open up with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for allowing us to come here to church. Thank you for those who made it on time for Sunday school. I pray that you would help them to have a spirit of concentration now, help them to focus, and I pray that we would benefit from the reading of your Word to help us to be more like Jesus Christ in our heart and in our action and our conduct. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go ahead and read together now, starting in verse number 16. Vamos a empezar en el versículo 16, Josué, capítulo 22, Joshua 22. The Bible says, Thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, What trespass is this that you have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, in that ye have builded you an altar, that ye might rebel this day against the Lord? Is the iniquity of Peor too little for us, from which we are not cleansed until this day, although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord? But that ye must turn away this day from following the Lord. And it will be, seeing ye rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he will be wroth with the whole congregation of Israel. Notwithstanding, if the land of your possession be unclean, then pass ye over into the land of the possession of the Lord, wherein the Lord's tabernacle dwelleth, and taketh possession among us, but rebel not against the Lord, nor rebel against us in building you an altar beside the altar of the Lord our God. Now look at verse 20. Did not Achan, the son of Zerah, commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel, and that man perished not alone in his iniquity? Versículo 20. ¿No cometió Acán, hijo de Zerá, prevaricación en el anatema, y vino ira sobre toda la congregación de Israel, y aquel hombre no pereció solo en su iniquidad? So today, friend, I want to talk to you about the sin of covetousness. And this is a very serious sin that we need to be mindful of, because unfortunately, sometimes when we allow our desires to go contrary to the laws of God, and when we allow our desires to get the best of us, it could have an effect not only upon our own life, but also on the lives of those around us. It can affect our family. It can affect our church family. It can affect those around us, because we couldn't control a desire that we had that went contrary to God's desires for us. So look at this man by the name of Achan. According to Joshua, he is reminding these Israelites, guys, don't you remember what happened with that guy when he committed this trespass and wrath from God fell on all of us? Don't you remember that? So what exactly did this guy do? Well, let's go back to Joshua chapter number 7. Joshua chapter 7. Estamos hablando de la codicia de este hombre que se llama Acán. Y este pecado que vamos a hablar es muy importante, que necesitamos cuidarnos en sí mismo de la codicia. Porque si practicamos en esta cosa, nosotros podemos afectar nuestra familia, nuestra iglesia, y podemos afectar todos en nuestra vida si no controlamos los deseos que va contrario de las leyes de Dios. So look at now Joshua 7. Read with me now in verse number 16. Versículo 16, Josué capítulo 7, versículo 16. So Joshua chapter 7, verse 16. The Bible says here, friend, So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. So when God told Joshua, I want you to find out who is in the camp that sinned against me. I need you to find out by casting these lots, these sticks, and I'm going to show you which of the tribes is going to be guilty, and God is going to narrow it down to the individual, so that way this man can be called out and he can be dealt with accordingly. So now the tribe of Judah was the one that was taken. Look at verse 17. He brought the family of Judah. He took the family of the Zarhites. So now, guys, out of the whole tribe, one little family, the Zarhites, the family, the Zarahites, by man, and Zabdi was taken. So now, guys, he's narrowing it down to see who was guilty for that transgression. Verse 18, he brought this household man by man, and Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. So here we have it, guys. God began to tell Joshua, here's how you're going to find out who is responsible and who's guilty for my wrath against the people. The whole tribe of Israel, I want you to cast lots. Joshua, it's Judah. All right, now Judah, of all the families, it's the Karhites. And now of all the Karhites, it's this man's family. And now it's narrowing it down to one man by the name of Achan. So look at 19 in Joshua chapter 7. Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto me, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. Verse number 20, versículo 20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. Now watch this, verse number 21. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, notice what he said, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth and in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. ¿Qué era el problema con este hombre Achan por su pecado entre el pueblo de Israel? Mira lo que dice en versículo 21. Que vi entre el despojo un manto babilónico muy bueno y 200 siclos de plata y un lingote de oro de peso de 50 siclos, lo cual codicié y tomé. Y aquí que está escondido debajo de tierra en el medio de mi tienda y el dinero debajo de ello. So what was the problem of Achan? He coveted after something. He desired something that went against God's laws. And as a consequence, the wrath of God was upon the children of Israel. And for this man's one sin, it caused wrath to be poured out upon everybody else. Today, friend, lesson number one, I want to warn you about the sin of covetousness. If you don't control your desires when they go contrary to God's laws, it can have an effect upon your family, and it can have an effect upon your church family if you don't control your desires when they go contrary. But what does it start with? Notice what he said in verse 21, when I saw. Your eyes, as soon as they behold something that God says you shouldn't desire it, and you go for it anyways, covetousness immediately happens. It originates within your heart, and before you know it, you take it secretly. But God knows. So some of you here today, you dress nice, you come in looking great for church, you're ready for the Bible and Bible teaching, if you will. But could it be that sometimes and some things in your heart you still covet secretly? So today, friend, I just want to bring that to your attention. Beware of the sin of covetousness. This man desired things that God told his people, I don't want you to desire after. Turn your Bible now with me to the book of Psalm, chapter number 10. Salmo capítulo 10. ¿Qué era el problema? El codicio, o el codicie, el manto babilónico, y en secreto lo llevó contrario de la ley que dio Dios al pueblo de Israel, que no debían comprar ropa de los gentiles, y no podían vivir como los gentiles en esa parte de la tierra a donde ellos vivieron. Y por su pecado en secreto hizo, la ira de Dios estaba arriba del pueblo de Israel, y por eso estamos hablando de este pecado de la codicia. Es muy importante que controlamos nuestros deseos cuando va contrario de la ley de Dios, porque podemos recibir condenación de Dios. Es muy importante. So now look with me in chapter 10, verse number 3. Salmo capítulo 10, versículo 3. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. Porque el malo se jacta del deseo de su corazón y bendice al codicio, al cual aborrece Jehová. So I want you to see now, friend, concerning covetousness, it's a wicked desire. This coveting is a wicked thing, and you need to guard your heart against the desires of things that go contrary to God's laws, because it'll bring you strife and trouble. Believers who struggle with this can pray for deliverance of their heart's desires. Look at Psalm 119. Vamos a Salmo 119, versículo 36. look at Psalm 119, and let's go down here to verse number 36. It is possible that God can help you, friend, but you got to give him your heart. You have to desire God more than those things, and he will help you. But today, if you don't want to give him 100% of your heart, maybe 50%, he's not going to deliver you from that desire. So it's very important that you ask God to help you. Look at what he said here in Psalm 119:36. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to what? Covetousness. Dice, inclina mi corazón a tus testimonios y no a la avaricia. So God can help you to not be coveting things that go against him, but you have to incline your heart to him. You have to surrender your heart to him. You have to give him those desires, friend. Go to Proverbs chapter 21. Vamos a Proverbios capítulo 21. Proverbs chapter 21. Look it with me now in verse number 26. Proverbios 21, 26. Proverbs 21, 26. The Bible says here, he coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. Hay quien todo el día codicia, mas el justo da y no escatima. So what I want to show you, number two, covetous is greediness. Covetous is greediness. It's something that you are desiring, but with a greedy spirit. You don't care how you obtain it. You don't care how you get it. You don't care if you have to be violent. You don't have to care if you have to do something in secret in order to obtain something or desire something within your heart. I want to show you now what the Bible says. It's a wicked desire, Psalm 10:3, and it's a greedy desire, Proverbs 21:26. What about spiritual application for any one of us today in positions of employment, perhaps leadership? Look at Proverbs 28, verse number 16. Proverbios capítulo 28, versículo 16. Estos son consejos para los que están en posiciones en un trabajo. Por ejemplo, si tienes una posición de ser líder arriba de otros, ese es un versículo muy bueno para aplicación. Por ejemplo, en la iglesia o algo así. So it's very important to understand how to maintain your spiritual uprightness in a position of employment or leadership, even in a church family. Look at here, Proverbs 28:16. The prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor, but he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. El príncipe falto de entendimiento multiplicará los agravios, mas el que aborrece la avaricia prolongará sus días. So if you want to have a longer longevity in your employment, then don't be covetous. Don't want to steal from the employer, right? Don't want to steal from your church, from the things that they give and they donate. So this is a very good verse to share with you how you can maintain uprightness. Covetousness, friend, is a matter of the heart. Let's look at Isaiah 57, verse 17. Isaías capítulo 57, versículo 17. Isaiah 57, verse number 17. And by the way, if we're going through a lot of these verses quickly, don't be shy. You can look up to the screen. Again, I have a lot of notes on this topic for our Sunday school, but this is very important that we talk about being aware of the sin of covetousness. So look at what God says here in Isaiah 57, verse 17. The Bible says, for the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth and smote him. I hid me and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his what? Heart. Dice, por la iniquidad de su codicia me enojé y lo herí. Escondí mi rostro y me indigné. Y él siguió rebelde por el camino de su corazón. So where does it start? ¿A dónde empieza este deseo de la codicia? Empieza en la corazón. It starts in your heart. So that's why, friend, you have to take care of your heart from being covetous or being desirous of things that don't belong to you. Perhaps people, perhaps a spouse, perhaps a woman or a man that's not yours, if you will. Anything. You have to guard your heart. It's a matter of the heart. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 7. Marco, capítulo 7. Mark, chapter 7. Let's now let Jesus continue to define for us, where does this desire start? ¿A dónde empieza este deseo? Vamos a leer lo que dice Jesucristo en el libro de Marco, capítulo 7, versículo 22. Mark, chapter number 7, verse number 22. But let's go ahead and start from verse number 20, just so we can get some context. Vamos a empezar del 20 para aprender el contexto. For those of you who have been with us on our Friday night study, we've been talking about what defiles a man. One of those things, one of those thoughts, one of those desires that will defile you before God is the desire of covetousness, or being coveting after things that belong to others, or perhaps an emotional desire. And before we close, you know what else you can covet more than God? Yourself. And when you covet yourself more than God and your pleasures and wanting to do things your way and making excuses of not serving God because of fill in the blank, I am more important than God's word, that's covetousness, and it will hinder you from obeying his commands. And I'm going to show you that before we close. So look at what he says in 20. That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders. Lo que sale del hombre, eso contamina al hombre. Porque de dentro del corazón del hombre salen los malos pensamientos, los adulterios, las fornicaciones, los homicidios. Look at what he says in 22. Thefts, los hurtos, covetousness, las avaricias. Do you see there? Covetousness. So Jesus said it, friend, that it starts in your heart. He warned his followers of this, and he told them that they should be aware of this. His followers of this, because it will not satisfy the soul of man. Wanting to get things that don't belong to you, wanting to get an emotional satisfaction that's outside of Christ and spiritual satisfaction, it will not help you, friend. It will not satisfy you. Here's what Jesus said. Look at Luke chapter number 12. Vamos a Lucas capítulo 12. Esas cosas, cuando practicamos la avaricia o codicia, no satisfica la alma. Por eso necesitamos disfrutar Cristo espiritualmente para que Él y su presencia nos pueda satisfacer en la alma. Look with me now, Luke chapter number 12 and verse number 15. Vamos a Lucas 12, capítulo 15, versículo 15. Look at what he says here. Jesus said unto them, take heed. Y les dijo, mirad y guardaos de la avaricia, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Porque la vida del hombre no consiste en la abundancia de los bienes que posee. So friend, your clothes are not going to satisfy you. Your food and your food diet will not satisfy you. Your spouse will not satisfy you. Your children will not satisfy you. There's nothing that you can possess on this earth that will satisfy you, friend. That's why Jesus said you have to beware. You have to protect your heart's desire of coveting after, because that's a sensual lie that you're telling yourself, because sin in there telling you, if you just get this thing, if you just get that girl, if you just get accepted over here, you'll be happy. You'll be satisfied. But Jesus said you won't. It doesn't satisfy. So that's why, friend, he is the only one who can genuinely and truly satisfy. Now, concerning how those things can hinder you from obeying the commands of God, I just want to encourage you, do me a favor, just look up to the screen for these next couple of moments. I'm going to show you this quickly now. We're going to go back to Jeremiah chapter number 6. So, para más consejos, nomás lea, mira en la pantalla, vamos a mirar estos versículos muy rápido, hablando de estos versículos para ayudarnos deseo que viene del carne. Look at Jeremiah 6, verse number 13 with me on the screen. Here's what the Bible says here. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. So when you entertain covetousness and when you want things more than God, it will lead you to want to lie to get it. It will lead you to live in a life that is false. It'll lead you to do things in a manner that are contrary to God's laws. Dice, porque desde el más chico de ellos hasta el más grande de ellos, cada uno sigue la avaricia. Y desde el profeta hasta el sacerdote, todos son engañadores. So even Christians in a spiritual application, pastors, leaders, can become covetous when Jesus is not sufficient. That's why some pastors fall into sin and adultery, because Christ isn't sufficient. Then secondarily, their wife isn't, and that's why they desire another woman's wife. And you guys can fill in the blank for any example, money, thief, if you will, kidnapping, all those things. It starts with a heart not being content with God and his person and his word. Look at Jeremiah chapter 8, verse number 10. The Bible says here in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse number 10, "Therefore will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For every one from the least even unto the greatest is given to covetousness. From the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely." So at this time when Jeremiah the prophet was preaching against the sins of Israel and Judah, here's what the problem was. They were coveting other people. They were coveting other dudes' wives. They were coveting false gods, and they were coveting all these things. And God said, "I'm going to give them over to that mindset." Same thing he'll do for the unbeliever and, sadly, the Christian. If you continue to live in rebellion against his laws, Romans chapter 1, he'll give you over to a reprobate mind. Look at Jeremiah 22 with me on the screen. Jeremiah 22. Look at verse number 17. The Bible says here, "But thine eyes and thine heart are not but for thy covetousness, and for to shed innocent blood, and for oppression, and for violence to do it." So guys, when you are covetous, it'll begin to arouse other things within your mind that you never thought you'd do because you couldn't get a hold of that desire at the beginning. And I'm telling you, friends, people will do anything to satisfy a desire. They'll steal money from their family. They'll rob a bank just so they can buy some more drugs. I'm telling you guys, hear the stories. It's because they're coveting things that can't satisfy. That's why you got to be careful. You got to guard your heart. Look at Jeremiah chapter number 51. Jeremiah 51. Just a couple of more on these. Verse number 13. The Bible says here, "O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come, and the measure of thy covetousness." Think about Mystery Babylon from Revelation. That spiritual system that is over the world right now. Again, I'm not here to rabbit trail your attention on who it is or what it represents. I'm just telling you that it's stealing away the hearts of men in a way that money can satisfy, drugs can satisfy, sex can satisfy, anything but the living God, idols and religion and education, anything that can steal away a soul from trusting in the living God, that's going to be the judgment of that, if you will, woman of that's sitting on many waters. You guys can read that in the book of Revelation. Now, as we're coming to a close, what type of men should we be? What type of women should we be for spiritual application as Christians, for those of us who are in Christian leadership, or for those of us who aspire one day to be in Christian leadership and discipleship for teaching and assisting? Turn your Bible now to Exodus chapter 18. Vamos al libro de Éxodo, capítulo 18. En contrario de lo que estamos aprendiendo en lo que el Señor nos está explicando de hombres que dan sus corazones a la codicia, al contrario, ¿qué dice Dios, por ejemplo, en esos versículos para aplicación espiritualmente por nosotros como cristianos, que debemos buscar en otros y nosotros en sí mismos a practicar para ser justo en la cara de Dios, para no ser un tipo de persona que practica eso? Vamos a mirar aquí en versículo 21 que cómo el Señor nos da conseja en qué debemos de buscar en hombres y mujeres para ponerlos en posiciones de leadership, para ser líderes en una iglesia, por ejemplo. So look with me now in verse 21, Exodus chapter 18. Great application that I want to share this with you today. Bible says here, starting in verse number 20. Yeah, let's go here, verse number 20. "And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men," watch this now, "such as fear God, men of truth," listen, "hating" what? "Covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens." Dice en versículo 21, "Además, escoge tú de entre todo el pueblo varones de virtud, temerosos de Dios, varones de verdad, que aborrezcan la avaricia, y constituirás a estos sobre ellos corporales, sobre mil, sobre ciento, sobre cincuenta, y sobre diez." So the type of men that we are looking to put into leadership are men who are able to fear God, men who love the scriptures more than covetousness. So I'm looking for Christian men who are satisfied with Jesus. I'm looking for Christian men who are willing to put Jesus ahead of their family, ahead of their friends, when it comes down to the rubber meeting the road. In other words, God expects for you, man or woman, to go above and beyond, to do this, to obey his commands, to work for him. And then when that family member says, nah, I don't really want to, they get a little lazy. You're going to be a man who fears God and say, hey, wife, hey, husband, we're going to serve him. This is what we do. It's all about him. It's not about us. And that's what the Bible says, that that's a virtuous thing to look for in a thing of leadership. That's good. That's real good. So before we come to a close, what are some great examples that we can follow after? Were there covetous Christians in the early days of the church? Of course. Were there Christians who were not covetous? Yes, absolutely. You can read about Paul in Acts 20, how he said that he was not covetous. But you can also read about that sin that he did struggle with in Romans chapter 7 about covetousness. But I want to close with these last verses concerning this covetousness, that our Christian conduct should not be nor reflect any covetousness. And unfortunately, Christians will and can be led astray from false brethren with conduct if they don't avoid those type of things. So before we close, let's go now to, these are all good verses. Let's go to Ephesians 5. And let's go to 1 Corinthians 6:10. Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians 6:10 and then Ephesians 5. Before we close, a couple more minutes. 1 Corinthians 6:10 and Ephesians 5. Again, a warning that you should not practice this. You got to get a hold of that desire, because here's what it will do. It will affect the inheritance that you have in God. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:10. The Bible says, nor thieves, nor covetous, and I'll just skip down to the end there, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Do you see there? So Christian, if you don't get a hold of coveting things, coveting yourself, coveting your family, coveting the things of this world more than Christ, if he's not sufficient, it will hinder your inheritance. If you want one more on that, you can read Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 5 on that. Last one, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to close, coming down to a close. In these last days, what does God warn you about? Well, he warns you about the type of people. Not only will they be Christians, but they can also be unbelievers. They can be unbelievers surrounding your life, or they could be carnal Christians surrounding your life that will be evidences or exhibiting this, and you want to avoid them. They're not going to be good for your spirit. They're not going to be good for your Christian example on how to grow and follow after good traditions. And you too could be that person if you don't get a hold of your desires today. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times come. Sabe también esto, que en los postreros días vendrán tiempos peligrosos. Verse number 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, porque habrá hombres amadores de sí mismos. Look at what it says there, covetous, avaros, boasters, vanagloriosos, proud, soberbios, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, desobedientes a sus padres, unthankful, malagradecidos, unholy, sin santidad. So what did I say earlier? When you love yourself more than God, that's covetous. Isn't that wild? So yeah, before you think, oh, Brother Carlos, I'm not coveting alcohol no more. I'm not coveting, you know, watching this and doing that and smoking drugs and all that. But do you love yourself more than Jesus? Because if you do, you're coveting yourself. And that's what's hindering you from serving Jesus. That's what's hindering you from being joyful in Jesus. That's why you want to keep adding things to your life, and you're trying to live your life and structure in such a manner that you're trying to have these other things in your life to accompany Christ, because you're not happy in Jesus. You're not satisfied in Jesus. And you think if you add these things in your life, these people, or if you don't do this and you spend more time in that, maybe you'll be happy. No, quite the contrary. You will be dissatisfied, because your soul is not about what you possess, and it's not even satisfied with just you. That's why Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he's the light of the world. He's the light of men. That's why he's the life. So if you trust him, let him be now your life. Let him be your source of joy. Let him be your everything. Let him be your focus. Let him be your reason for waking up. Let him be your reason for wanting to go to sleep. Let him be the reason why you want to continue to live on this earth to work for him and to follow him. Amen. So today, friend, what's today's Sunday school lesson? Beware of covetousness. Don't let those desires become more important than Jesus Christ. Don't let those desires become more important than the clear commands of Scripture, because what is it? It's a wicked thought, showed you that from the Bible. It's greediness, showed you that from the Bible. It's a matter of a froward heart, showed you that from the Bible. And it's sin. And as Christians, you can do that. And I didn't get to the verse, but I'll just quote it to you in Colossians. It tells us in chapter 3 of Colossians that covetousness is idolatry. So you don't have a statue, brother. You're right. You may not be watching those movies anymore, sister. You're right. But if you love yourself more, you're making an idol of yourself. And before you know it, unless self is pleased, he's not, because you're telling your body, no, you're going to do this versus what Christ says. No, you're going to do that versus that can become a problem. So friend, be satisfied, be content with Jesus. He's sufficient. He's everything. He's your life. Let him define it. Let him lead it. Let him command it. He will keep you happy. But if you put yourself ahead of him, no wonder why you are unhappy all the time, bitter, angry, et cetera, et cetera. So friend, I hope that encouraged you today. Beware of covetousness. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word of God. Thank you for this message. Pray that it had an effect on our hearts. Help us, God, and guide us. Protect us. Just like the psalmist said, incline our heart to the testimonies of your word. Incline our heart to be satisfied with the scriptures more than our self, more than our feelings, more than the things that we possess, and more than the things that we want, that we keep telling ourselves, if I just have that, or if I just get this, if I just had a husband, if I just had a wife, and we're not satisfied. Because you told us, Lord, that's not going to satisfy. But you can, God. You can satisfy every soul here today if they trust you and if they love you more. So today, God, would you help our church to not be covetous? Would you help us to be content with you alone and your word? And Lord, help us to be living examples to those that we live around with in our conduct. We thank you, Father. Would you now prepare our hearts for the upcoming Sunday message and also for the communion supper we're going to have? And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, church, love you. Let's go ahead and take a 15-minute break. We'll get ready for our Sunday service. May the Lord bless.